Just a quick little short video there to kind of share what we've been talking about. Our whole idea over the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about turning our Christmas upside down. Funny thing is, so I see this video, and last week in JCPenney's, they actually, maybe you've seen this, they actually were selling a tree, an upside down tree. Like that, it literally, it's upside down, and you can decorate it, and it's turned this way instead of this way. And I thought, oh man, I wish I could buy that and have that here for illustration for our service. But partly I'd be worried upside down with it tipping over. I'm trying to figure, I wasn't sure, I didn't look very well. I don't know, they must have some big, huge base there to keep that thing from tipping over. But I just thought it was a cool idea. Maybe next year I'll get an upside down Christmas tree for Advent Conspiracy or whatever. But if you've been with us, you kind of know what this is about. The last few weeks, we've been in the middle of a series titled Advent Conspiracy. And we've literally been turning Christmas upside down, I think, for some of us, and walking through this thing, Advent Conspiracy. I shared with you about the fact of these pastors that came together. I shared the story of these, I think it was four pastors that came together in 2006, and they realized that what Christmas was supposed to be and what Christmas had become were two totally different things. And so these pastors started dialoguing and talking, how can we do Christmas different in our church? How can we literally turn Christmas upside down? And so as these pastors talked, their conversations caused them to come up with this idea of Advent Conspiracy. And this started in 2006 with just four churches. But now thousands of churches worldwide have joined in this thing. Each and every year, more and more churches get involved in this Advent Conspiracy. Churches that are encouraging their congregations to stop and think about, what is Christmas really about? And this Advent Conspiracy, it really challenges you through four things. The four things that it talks about, we see it up on the screen, is worship fully, spend less, give more, and love all. Now, 2 weeks ago, we started it off with worship fully. And I shared the fact that we won't really be people who learn to spend less, give more, and love all if we aren't learning to worship fully. Because it really begins with worship. It begins with understanding. That's what Christmas is about. It's about worshiping our King. Then last week, we talked about spending less. And I mentioned this is probably the toughest one. Toughest one for me to speak about. Toughest one maybe for us to receive. And the big reason for that is the culture that we live in, right? We talked about this last week. We live in an overindulging culture, right? Not afraid to spend money. Not afraid to throw money around at Christmas time, right? And in doing so, a culture that's often found itself in debt, right? Because they just spend at Christmas and go crazy. And so I challenge us to really think about rebelling a little bit, to really think about maybe turning Christmas upside down a little, to rethink how we do Christmas. Instead of just throwing money at gifts, to think about what you give and how you give, which leads us into our topic for today. The title today is Give More. Now, some of you might say, wait a second. Last week you said to spend less. Now you're telling us to give more. It seems so contradictory, right? I mean, it seems, wait a second here, what are you saying? And the key here is understanding what it means and what we're talking about when we say give more. Because we're not talking about financial aspects here. You see, when people talk about giving to others at Christmas time, what do they tend to be talking about? They tend to be talking about presents, right? They tend to be talking about gifts and spending money. Anyone have an idea? You can throw it out there. Anyone have an idea where the whole Christmas gift-giving tradition may have come from? Any thoughts? Any ideas? Don't be afraid to yell. The wise men, the magi, okay. Great. Any other thoughts? Or the traditions that we come from, have come from? St. Nicholas. All right, great answers, man. You guys were looking at my notes before, weren't you? You guys were staring into my notes. Well, I have a computer, and I like to use this thing called Google, okay, to look these kind of things up. And I Googled this question, and it pointed me to two main ideas. Now, I mean, it pointed me all over the direction, but, you know, when you get to Google and you Google through stuff, you kind of got to wade through what you need to wade through and figure out what's the good stuff and what the bad stuff is there. But as I Googled this, it pointed me to two main ideas, and you brought both of them up here. The first, though, the first main idea it talked about was this Christian bishop by the name of St. Nicholas, right? And we've heard of St. Nicholas before. He's become a lot different today than what he was to begin with. But here's the thing that I found about St. Nicholas. He was known for his generosity. He was one who would regularly give gifts to those who were less fortunate. And I guess at this time, as I read that, I thought this was interesting. At this time, kids were being forced to grow up quickly. Okay? They were being forced to grow up quickly. I read that by the age of 8, that's 8 years old. Okay, that's my daughter's 7. She's about to turn 8 here in January. So my daughter here, which you see right here, is the age of 8. But by the age of 8, they were beginning to work to help earn money for the family. So that's just not work around the house. That's like they were getting jobs at age 8 to help earn money for their families. Okay, so they were being forced to grow up too quickly. And by age 5, once you turn 5, man, you were doing the stuff around the house. You were helping cook and clean and prepare things around the house and taking care of. So childhood was kind of being lost in this time. And because of this fact, that I read that St. Nicholas was known for giving toys to children. Sound familiar, all right? To help them hold on or even cherish their childhood. And this is where we get the idea of good old, jolly old St. Nicholas, all right? Which has obviously grown to much, much more than what it was back then. In the fact that we hoard or throw and lavish our kids with all sorts of crazy gifts. And why that whole thing, I don't know exactly when I found. I couldn't see why it was exactly tied to Christmas because the stuff I read never said that St. Nick did this at Christmas time. But apparently it's become a part of our Christmas tradition that we know today. And that's one of the stories of St. Nicholas. Now, many people believe, as we've heard, the tradition of gift-giving started much earlier, right? Many people believe that the tradition of gift-giving started in the first couple years of Christ's birth with the three wise men, with the magi. And many of us are familiar with the story, how they followed the star from afar. They knew. We mentioned a little bit last week when we read about Herod. They came looking. They'd followed the star looking for this newborn king. And they brought gifts to Jesus, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? We read about those. And we always say three wise men. Actually, I even said it there, but we just assume three wise men because there were three gifts, all right? We don't know. There could have been a ton of them, and they brought these three gifts with them, but the wise men came and they gave these gifts. But here's the thing. It's interesting. So if we take this perspective, it's like, do we think that the wise men showed up and they were like, all right, yay, it's the king. Awesome. Yeah, let's celebrate. Here's some gold for you, buddy. Yeah, here's some frankincense for you. Here's some myrrh. They didn't give the gifts to each other, right? It was a gift to the king. It was a gift to Jesus. And so somewhere along the line, we started giving gifts to each other to celebrate the king. And I don't know where all that came from, but here's the thing. And as we look back, we can't deny, as we look back at the Magi, as we look at the story of Christmas itself, we can't deny that Christmas is about giving, right? It is. It's about a heart of giving to one another, giving of ourselves. But the key is we have to understand the heart behind the giving, how we give, more than what we give. In Isaiah, it prophesies about the coming of Jesus. In Isaiah 9:6, it says this. It says, "For unto us a child is born." And this is years and years before Jesus was born. But it's prophesying in advance. This is what's about to happen. It says, "For unto us a child is born, For unto us a son is given. Given. At Christmas we were given an amazing gift of the Son of God. A few weeks ago we referenced John 3:16 as we talked about worshiping fully. And John 3:16, we know it. For God so loved the world that what? He gave. He gave. Now I know the heart of this scripture is Jesus is talking here. I mean, he's talking about the fact that he's going to go give his life to die on a cross for our sins. But it started with Christmas. It started with him being given to us at Christmas. And as he was given at Christmas, he then gave of his life for us later. The heart of Christmas has to do with giving. It has to do with giving. But here's the thing. He didn't give us presents with a T. He gave us his presence with a C. He gave us himself. John 1:4 said, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." And that the Word, when it says the Word, it's referring to Jesus. It's referring to Jesus Christ himself. He came and he lived among us. As Alan Hirsch would put it, he moved into the neighborhood. It's a great picture, huh? Jesus literally came and he moved into the neighborhood. This is why we call him Emmanuel. In Matthew, it says, it refers to him as Emmanuel, which means God with us. Yes, it means God with us. Now, he could have stayed up in heaven, right? He could have given us a gift from afar. But it wouldn't have been the same. It wouldn't have meant what it means to us today. Instead, he gave up his comfortable place in heaven. I mean, think about it. Here he is up in heaven and everything's, the angels and everyone's praising him and exalting him. And can you imagine? I can't wait and imagine what it's going to be like in heaven. But here he is. You know, he is Jesus. He is one of the Trinity. And he's in heaven being praised and glorified. And he gives that up to come to this earth. He gives it all up to come to this fallen, broken world. Where right off the bat, they're trying to kill him, right? Right off the bat, he's misunderstood. And all these horrible situations and things that he experienced is this life on earth. He gave himself. And it was a gift that was more costly. Got to say it correctly. It was more costly than anything he could have ever bought us or sent us. When was the last time that we really gave ourselves at Christmas time? It's so easy for us to just stop off at the mall to get that gift that we haven't even thought about, that takes so little effort. But I guess this Christmas, as we turn Christmas upside down, the question is, what if we gave differently this year? What if instead of giving presents, we gave our presence to people? We gave of ourselves to people. What if we took time to actually give something that actually means something, that takes some thought? On the website adventconspiracy.org, I heard a story about a son in going with this tradition of the Advent conspiracy who gave his father a bag of gourmet coffee beans. And you think, okay, that's just buying a gift. What's the big deal with this? But here's the thing. With that bag of coffee beans, there was a special note that went with it that said this: "Dad, the only time that you can drink this coffee is if you're drinking it with me." And it said, "We'll set up regular times for us to enjoy this coffee together and for us to just be able to sit and to talk, and for you to be able to tell me stories, to tell me about growing up as a man. That is a relational gift. That wasn't just a present. It was a gift that involved his son's presence, being there It was a part of the gift itself. Now, the other thing about this gift that Jesus gave us was the fact that it was so personal. It was so personal. Luke 2:11 says this. It says, today in the town of David, the angels now are sharing with the shepherds, okay? And here's the thing. We're talking about shepherds. Shepherds were kind of outcasts. They were smelly. They were gross. A lot of people stayed away from shepherds. And of all the people that the angels came and shared with, they shared with the shepherds. They shared with the outcasts. They shared with the people that a lot of other people didn't want to be around. Jesus, he came to the angels came to the shepherds. And they said this. They said, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now, did you catch what it said in the middle there? Now, you should have because I emphasized it, right? A Savior has been born to who? To you. Now, they're saying this to shepherds who feel like nobodies. And I'm sure many of us at times in our life have felt like nobodies. And the Scripture is for you. For unto you is born a Savior. You. Jesus' gift was for you. He knew exactly what you needed. He knew exactly what all of us needed, but it's very personal. It's a Jesus who's a very personal God who cares about you. He knows who you are. He created you. It says that He even knows the numbers of hair on your head. Okay? For some of us, that's easier than others. All right? But it's true. He does. That's how much He loves you. He is a personal God. Any of you ever opened a gift and immediately knew that this person doesn't know me at all? Right? Very impersonal gift, you know? You open it up and you're like, yay, a pink Snuggie, just what I always wanted. How did you know? Look, don't I look great in this thing? Oh, wait, you're supposed to turn around. Put it on this way. Here we go. Don't I look great in this Snuggie? Oh, you know me so well, right? You know? You ever get those gifts? Or maybe you've given those gifts, right? You've given someone that gift that you put no thought into, right? You just, this looks good here. I hope they like it, right? I heard a story the other day. I think it was my brother-in-law. I don't want to call him out, but I think it was my sister telling me he had a friend that, you know, a friend had a favorite team, and his favorite team was, you know, like, I can't remember what teams were, but like the Dodgers or something. And he got him a gift and gave it to him, and it was a Yankees hat, you know, and it's like, what is this? And it's like, well, it's a gift for you. Don't you like the Yankees? I hate the Yankees. I'm a Dodger fan, you know? And it's that kind of thing. We've done it. We've all done it at times in our life. And the fact is, it's so opposite of personal. It's not the way Jesus gave. It was so personal. He knew what you needed. He knows what we need. And so often the way we give gifts, it's so impersonal, personable. And I'm one that honestly, I'd rather get nothing than to get that something that's just going to sit on my garage shelf, okay? Which I have a lot of those over my lifetime. I have many of those useless little gifts that it's like, oh, I got to get Darren something. Oh, give him something, you know? And it's like, thank you. How much money did you spend on this? Because it's going to sit on my shelf here, and after a while, I collect them and take them to Goodwill. And I'm one that personally, and I know some people are opposite. Some people, they just like, oh, you gave, it's so great. And I'm not like saying I don't, you gave, you thought of me, that's great. Well, or at least I think you thought of me, did you? Because when will I ever use this, you know? But it's that idea, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to say you can give me whatever. But it's that whole point of, I'm digging a hole here. For anyone that's ever given me a gift, now they're like, I wonder if it's sitting on the shelf in the garage. But the whole idea is do we think, and is there a reason why, or is it just because, like our culture, oh, I got to get a gift, so I'm going to throw money, and that's what we do. We do that, and I personally I'd rather just you say, you know what, I just want to say Merry Christmas. You mean a lot to me. That means more to me than something that means absolutely nothing. You see, giving more doesn't mean more useless gifts. It means taking time to really think about the people that you're buying for. to the point where you can honestly say, I got this for you. Because I know you, and I knew you would enjoy this. I knew it would be something that you would use. Here's the thing, this can be extremely difficult at times. It can even be inconvenient because it means we have to stop and think about what we're getting. We have to maybe process through, man, let's see, when I've hung out with them, what are the things that they like to do? What, you know, it can actually cost us something. But isn't this the very example of Jesus at Christmas? Philippians 2, 6 through 8 says this, He, speaking of Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He knew when He came to this earth, He gave up. He gave up that life. He gave up heaven. But made Himself nothing. Verse 7. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death. Even the worst death of all, this time, death on a cross. Jesus gave everything. We talked about it. He was here. He was up. You can't get any higher. And He took a huge leap. That first one was the biggest one. Out of heaven to this earth. And He continued in that point to continue to lower Himself and lower Himself. And He gave Himself to the point of death on a cross. He gave everything. This is why He came. This is what Christmas was all about. So as we think about Jesus, as we think about Christmas and how Christmas is really about giving, we have to realize that some 2,000 years ago, that giving was a lot different than the giving that we see today. I told you, we're literally turning Christmas upside down. And these messages are as hard for me, I think, as is hard for us, all of us, to hear. Because I've been, the world, the giving and the way of the world, that's been us. And we're learning. And Stacy and I, we've been challenged over the last few years. How do we turn this upside down? See, Jesus gave of Himself, and it was very personable. And it came at a great cost. And I encourage you this year to take time to rethink Christmas this year. Allow Jesus to turn your Christmas upside down. Because what may seem like a bad thing, literally, I'm telling you, can be a great and wonderful thing. Allow Him, though, to guide you through this journey. Okay? I'm not telling you right now to go, oh, I'm starting all over, we're throwing everything out. I'm not saying that. I'm saying let's seek the Lord. Because it's different for all of us. Allow the Lord to guide you through this journey. You hear me talk about every week, if you're here, I talk about following Jesus. That's what this journey is all about. It's about following Him. And that means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 366 this year. Okay, it's leap year. You don't get that freebie in there. We follow Him every hour. You can break down the minutes if you want, right? 60 minutes, 24 hours. But it means following Jesus means all the time. It means at Christmas time, Lord, what is Your will and desire for me and my family at Christmas? Let's let Him write our stories this year. Let Him show us how to live out Christmas the way that He would intend for each of us to. And that's going to be different for each of us. And that's why it's so important that we spend time with Him. It starts by praying, Lord, how do I make Christmas more about You? Because I know I fail in this area. And we've been walking through this process for about 2 or 3 years now of trying to let our Christmas be turned upside down. And every year we grab a little bit more. And it's this process of learning, Lord, what does it look like for us? Because with anything, you know, when people become a Christian, what turns people so often so quickly is because we all of a sudden think, well, okay, you're a Christian now, you better change this, you better change this. It can't happen, okay? I mean, God can do the miraculous, don't get me wrong, if he wants to, but sometimes God just says, come as you are, right? And let me slowly begin to change you. And that's the thing is, I don't expect to, oh, hey, we're all going to, you know, and I don't expect you to look to me, oh, look it, they said they were going to spend less and give more, but we're not, it's not finger pointing, it's none of that. It's what, Lord, are you calling me to do? Help me to seek you and your will and way. It starts by praying. It starts by talking with your spouses or your family members. It starts by being willing to sacrifice a little time. And the end result, as we continue to do this, will enable you to give more. To give the way that Jesus gave. And that's what it's all about. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, we thank you for the challenge that you're bringing to us this Christmas season, Lord. For many of us, it literally is turning our Christmas upside down. It's so easy to get caught up in what the world sees Christmas as, Lord. And there's nothing wrong with some of the traditions and some of the things that we love to do, Lord. But bottom line, we need to be seeking, Lord, what are you saying to each of us as individuals? How do we demonstrate Christmas this year to those around us? How do we make Christmas truly about giving of the heart and not just giving from the pocketbook, Lord? There's so much more to giving at Christmas time, to taking time. And Lord, we fill our Christmas up with so many things, and sometimes it's just the fact that we need to step back and walk in simplicity and realize that true relationship takes work, it takes time, and it can be costly. But Lord, you know. You know what it means to pay the ultimate price. And you were willing to do that and give us that because of your love for us. Teach us, Lord, how to walk in that kind of love, to walk in that kind of heart, Lord. May you challenge each of us where we're at this Christmas time, Lord. That's what it's about. We're all on this journey of following you. And we're all at different places, and you don't expect this person to be where this person to be where that person is, but Lord, help us to be where you want us to be, and to faithfully take those baby steps forward, to faithfully continue to move in the direction that you're calling us to go, Lord. We thank you for your word, and may it speak to each of us where we're at. May it apply to our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.